The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread, when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord. If you have a free hour and a half today, you might just read the whole of the Acts of the Apostles. Just read it, the 28 chapters. Fascinating book we're reading the whole Easter season. We've arrived at chapter 6, only gotten about 25% finished of this wonderful book, and we find the person of Saint Stephen. Talk a little bit about him. Saint Stephen was one of the first deacons. The reason being was that the apostles found themselves dedicated more to being basically waiters on tables, no? Working for Denny's or, you know, something like that, no? And that's, they weren't called to be waiters, no? Even though they probably could do it pretty well. What are the two principal obligations of the priest and the bishop? Remember the two P's, pray and preach, the two P's. So they had to pray, and they had to preach, and not wait on tables. So they brought together, the apostles came together, they decided, and they chose a group of them, Parmenas, Nicanor, and the most well-known would be that of Stephen. So the purpose was so that the apostles could dedicate themselves to prayer and preaching, have these men work with the poor and serve in the tables and the material needs of the early community. What's ironic is that Stephen gets up and gives one of the longest, most eloquent homilies or preachings in the whole Bible. Kind of ironic, isn't it? I mean, you listen to his preaching, it's one of the best summaries of the history of salvation in the whole Bible. So here's a man that should be waiting at the table, and he's preaching longer homilies than we have almost in Peter, James, and John. Which means that lay people and deacons have the Holy Spirit. They can preach too, by word and by example. What was Stephen like? Well, he was a man, obviously, that meditated upon the Word of God. We have to do that also. You've got to do your daily holy hour. Okay? Meditate upon the Word of God every day. He not only did he meditate upon it, but he understood it in his mind. Not only did he understand his mind, but also he lived it. So there was not a disconnect between his preaching his faith and his living his faith. He lived what he preached. And the Bible said he was a man of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. What a praise. Faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. He served the poor, that's true. But also he was a man that was not afraid to preach the Word of God in difficult circumstances. For us, preaching to the choir or preaching the Word of God among people that are like-minded, it's a piece of cake. Piece of cake. But you find yourself in an antagonistic, hostile environment, it's not that easy. You go, you do it at work, you could really be thrashed by people that don't agree with you. Stephen could care less. He could care less. He was willing and ready to preach the Word of God in the most difficult circumstances. So try to imagine this. Maybe he was 20 years old. He's preaching to these men that are probably triple his age and have triple his formal education. And he's more eloquent than they, than all of, not only one of them, all of them together. Think about that. He's more eloquent and more powerful than the whole group of these guys that are probably very well educated in the Torah. They've got all the verses memorized. But there the young whippersnapper gets up and they can't win the debate. So obviously what's going to happen? Jealousy. The jealousy. That's the reason of the death of this man. So if we can't defeat him, let's slander him. Let's calumniate him. Let's say that he was speaking against Moses and the law and the prophets. Let's say that he supports this Jesus guy who wants to abolish all of the law, the prophets, and the Bible. I don't know if you paid attention to the last verse. They looked at him and he looked like an angel. What does that mean? They saw in this young man real purity, honesty, and innocence just by looking at him. But they were even more infuriated. You probably know what's going to be the next feature tomorrow, huh? They're going to kill him. He's going to lift up his eyes and say, "Look, I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father," and they are infuriated. And they're going to drag him out and they're going to throw stones on him. And they're going to kill him. And he's going to be dying saying almost the same words that Jesus said on the cross. "Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Do not hold this sin against them." And the stones come crashing into his skull, killing this young man. And then you're going to be hearing the verse, "And there was a young man named Saul." And they put the cloaks at the foot of the young man Saul, who concurred of this murder. Concur means he supported this murder. Any of you see that movie, The Apostle St. Paul? What do you think? Remember the three quick scenes where they see Stephen's blood? Remember that? Shown about three times very quickly. Very quickly. Great movie. Ignatius Press suggests that we watch that as well as Full of Grace. Have you seen Full of Grace? Do you know what it is? It's the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary after Jesus goes up into heaven. This would be the time of the church year you should see that. Great movie. And Mary's preparing the apostles for martyrdom. Her last discourse, Mary says, look, you're going to go through tough times. That's what St. Luke also said in the movie St. Paul. You're going to go through tough times, you're going to suffer, but it's going to be over quickly, and you're going to be with the Lord forever. And Mary says, you're going to go through tough times. But she says, remember the first time Jesus looked at you with love. That'll give you courage. Few people, when you're going through tough times like Stephen, remember the first time that Jesus looked at you with love. That will give you the strength to overcome all of the most difficult obstacles in your life. Amen.